ever seen the wonder in the glimmer of her sight? As the eyes begin to open and the blindness meets the light, if you have so say,
I see the world in light, I see the world in wonder, I see the world in life, bursting living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light.
Have you ever seen the wonder in the air of second light? Having come out of the water, with the woman left behind.
If you have so say, I see the world in light, I see the world in wonder, I see the world in life, bursting in living colors. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. World in grace, I see the world in gospel, I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the wonder. You're the wonder in the world, turning wonderness to wonder. The Jesus way, you're a wonder in the world. I see the world your way, to follow. I see the world your way, I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in light, I see the world in wonder, I see the world in light, bursting living color. World your way, and I'm walking in the light. Oh, I say, I see the world in grace, I see the world in gospel, I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the wonder. Jesus way, you're a wonder in the world.
About 10 years ago, we started coming to Church on the Rock. We found this church because we have a group of friends that we met to have a Bible studies once a week. We always had the need to find a place for our family. Our friends told us that in the area it was a church. They mentioned that it was a big place and also everything was in English. When we heard that, we thought that we may not come if we don't understand. But one Sunday we took the decision to come. We were a little bit afraid because we did not know how the experience will be for our family. I remember we took our kids to the kids' ministry, and as soon as we saw the place, we fell in love with the place. After that, we walked to the auditorium. Even when we did not understand what they were singing, we start praising and worshiping God in our own words. When pastor start preaching, we did not understand much, but for sure, we got the message that was in store for us and make us come back again. Everything has been a process for us, but we ask the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding. When you let the Holy Spirit work in your life, miracles happen in your life. We are saying this because we have experienced this in our own lives. After a while, I get involved in the kids' ministry. Today, we are not afraid of the language anymore. We are still daily learning the language, but it's not a barrier anymore. We would like to tell everybody, don't let anything stop you from moving forward. It's not easy, but it is worth it.
Welcome, everyone. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, we're excited about the message today. We're excited about getting together for such a time as this. Here we are, the last Wednesday of this year. We're making it count. We're going to make a difference with our last Wednesday of this year. So we're so glad you joined us. We're so glad you're watching. And I want you to know, I believe today is going to add value. It's going to make a difference in your life. Or we, our team, we wouldn't be working hard to make it happen. We believe it's going to make a difference with your life. Because remember, all we do here, we're about to receive an offering right now. Why should I give to Church on the Rock? You can give online. You can text right now. Because we're helping you and everybody we come in contact with know God. Yeah, know God. Find freedom. You're going to find freedom from confusion today. You're going to get free from confusion. You're going to get free from apathy. You're going to get free from average. You're going to get free from just coasting to making a difference with your life and discovering your purpose. So we're excited. So you can give right now. And I want to pray, you know, really, this is a legacy offering, isn't it? A huge legacy. You're going to leave a legacy through your offering today. You're going to make a memorial, like in the Bible, the lady that when she gave to the Lord, you know, that oil, poured it over his feet. Remember, he said, this is a memorial forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible says in Psalms, God never forgets. God never forgets a seed that we sow. I'm still claiming harvest on seeds that I've sown the last 10 years. I'm still claiming a hundredfold return. I encourage you to do it. Let me pray over your giving right now. Father, thank you. Thank you for generous people. Thank you for people who have the courage to step out through fear, and they have the courage to step out in faith and hear and obey your voice. God, speak to all of us on this legacy offering. Father, I just thank you that because of our giving, their commitment to giving, God, we are making a difference. We're helping people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose. So, Father, I bless your people. Multiply this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your generosity today. You know, your generosity is leaving a legacy, and I just want to thank you. You know, we're excited about next year, 2018, and we're going to give God a tithe of our time right off the bat. We're going to give him the month of January. How, Pastor? We, as a church, are going to go through a 21-day fast. A 21-day fast. And we're actually tithing January for the whole year. God's going to honor the whole year because we're tithing it to him the first month with our time, okay? So Mickey's going to come and talk to you about that. And then it's going to be followed by a right now word from me to you on the power of a vision. Let's watch Mickey.
Hi, Church on the Rock. I'm so excited for our 21 days of prayer and fasting starting in January. This 21-day corporate fast begins on the 11th and goes on to the 31st. To start off the fast on January 11th, we'll be having a special day of prayer with the sanctuary being open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Also, during the fast, we'll be having special video devotionals with Pastor and a PDF reflection journal you can download from our website. This fast will help you start the new year right and develop a greater relationship with God. So, save the dates from January 11th to the 31st for our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in your life.
Hello, everyone. Pastor David Blunt here. I hope you had a very Merry Christmas. It came so quick this year, and we were praying that this would be the best Christmas of your life. And here we are, December the 27th, Wednesday, the last Wednesday of 2017. You know, we want to go out this year really strong, and we want to be prepared for a brand new year, 2018. Someone said, how you exit determines how you enter the next season of your life. I'm here today to help you enter the brand new year positioned for it to be the best year of your life. I want to talk to you today about vision. Someone said to be successful in life, you have to have the right attitude and the right motivation. That's huge. If you're a note taker, if you want to be successful where you work, if you want to be successful in the Christian life, if you want to be a successful person, I know you do, make a difference with your life and leave a legacy, then you have to have the right attitude and the right motivation. I'm here today. This teaching is all about our wonderful team. They worked so hard to come in here so we could minister to you on the last Wednesday of the month. Even though we gave off our entire staff this week because we love them, we want them to have a great time with their family and friends, get rested up, refreshed for a brand new year. So we've all come together so we can still have our Wednesday service. And I'm talking to you today about how to make a difference with your life. That's huge. Having the right attitude and the right motivation. Now, the right motivation, you know what it is? The greatest motivator in my life, in your life, the greatest motivator is our picture of our future. The greatest motivator is our picture of our future. Or I can say it this way, vision. John Maxwell, to quote him, has said the greatest motivator that you and I have as Christians is God's vision for our life. We've all come together here today. We're all working extra hard on this day so we can come to you and help you with your future, help you to make a difference with your life and leave a legacy. You leave a legacy by impacting other people. You leave a legacy by impacting other people. You know, they did a survey. They got a group of 95-year-old men, and they brought them together, and they said, if you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? They said three things. Number one, these group of 95-year-old men, if we could live our life over again, number one, we would enjoy life more. They said that they would enjoy the sunrise and the sunset and all during the day, kind of stop to smell the roses. They would enjoy life more. Boy, what great wisdom. Number two, they said they would take greater risk. If they could live their life over again, they would take greater risk. Number three, these 95-year-old men said if they could live their life over again, they would leave a legacy. My question is, how do you leave a legacy? Sounds good. What does that mean? You leave a legacy through impacting, investing, imparting in other people, helping them find their potential and bring the best out of them. That's how you leave a legacy. It's like here with our ministry here at our church. You see, I want to leave a legacy by pouring into my family, by pouring into our staff, by pouring into our dream team volunteers, by pouring into you, by me getting to impact you today, I'm leaving a legacy. So that's what this is all about today. The greatest motivation in your life and my life is God's vision. That's what got me up today, God's vision for your life. My question to challenge you today is, do you have a vision for 2018? I'm not talking about 2019, 2020, in the year 25, 25. It's a little song. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you have a vision that's clear for 2018? I want to help you with that right now and having a vision for next year. How do we do that? Well, first of all, let me just share this with you that, you know, some people have no vision. And if you don't have a vision for your life, you have no direction, you have no victory, you have no motivation. In fact, you'll live a life of regret and you'll regress. You'll regress. Without a vision, not only will you miss out on your future, miss out on your potential, miss out on leaving a legacy and making a difference with your life, you'll live a life of regret. You'll regress. You see, sometimes we think, you know, that I can lay off my pursuit with God, I can back off my daily devotion, quiet time with God, and I can stay the same. You know, it's just like in the natural. You know, Daniel, my son, you know, he helps me. He's my physical fitness coach, and we work out together. And you know, if we miss a few weeks, you know what? I can't go back into the gym and pick up where I left off. I got to go way back, you know, a few months earlier where I was then. Same way spiritual, you know, we can't stay the same without doing the same routine every day. In other words, if we stop our daily devotionals, it's like in the physical realm, you know, we're going to regress. We never stay constant. We're either going forward or we're going backward. We never stay status quo. Doesn't happen. So some people have no vision. Maybe that's you today. I'm going to help you. No vision, no victory, no drive, no motivation, no success. No legacy, no difference with your life. Some people have a low vision. A low vision. Some people have a low vision. Now, I want to challenge you for 2018. I want you to claim all the promises of God. Say all with me. Come on, say all with me. I know you ate a lot of Christmas, so did I, but we can still say it together. Say all with me. You see, I want to challenge you. Some people are just believing for some promises of God. Just some promises of God. I want to challenge you at Church on the Rock, our family, to believe God for all the promises of God. Not some, but all. Not less, but more. So some people have no vision. Number two, some people have a low vision. They're afraid to step out in faith and break barriers and go to the next level. Number three, some people have the wrong vision. No vision, low vision, wrong vision. They've listened to Uncle Fred. They've listened to Aunt Susie. They've listened to their friends. They've listened to the wrong people. They've gotten the wrong advice. They're going in the wrong direction. And they're going to end up regretting their life, wasting their life. I'm talking to you today about vision, the greatest motivator for you and me as Christians. We've got to have it to move forward. So, people with no vision, people with a low vision, people with wrong vision, you're going to waste your life. I'm so glad in my life, you know, growing up, you know, I wanted to be a race car driver. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an artist. I got straight A's in art all through high school. Came natural, came easy. Art came natural for me. I loved it. And, you know, I had people tell me, you know, you should do this, you should do that. I was in the business world and doing great in management, you know, but none of that satisfied me. And even though I was working a great job, I got married, had a beautiful wife, still have a beautiful wife. And you know, I had everything I wanted in the natural realm, but you know what? I was losing my drive. I was losing my passion about going to work. I wasn't thrilled about going to work anymore. I felt like there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than a new Corvette, a new motorcycle, build a new house, a new wife, 2 years into marriage, and a great job, bonuses, stocks, options. And it wasn't motivating me. What does that mean? Wrong vision. Wrong vision. So some people have a wrong vision. They waste their life. Number four, some people have a vague vision. I'm helping you with that today. We're helping you make a difference with your life. How do you do it? With God's vision. That's where we want to land right now. I got about 15 minutes now, but that's where we want to land. I wanted to grab your attention. I wanted to challenge you and motivate you to want God's vision for your life. That's where it starts. See, I didn't really want God's vision for my life until I'd done everything else, and I exasperated everything else, and I listened to everybody, and I thought I had everything I wanted to have, and yet I lost my drive. I lost my get up and go. I thought there's got to be more than this and just a 9-to-5 and retire and get a gold watch and live on retirement. There's got to be more to life than this. And that's when I got God's vision. I'm going to show you how to get God's vision for your life. So you tell me, what was the first one? No vision. What was the second one? Come on, don't forget. Low vision. What's the third one? Wrong vision. What's the fourth one? Vague vision. You know, if you have a vague vision, you're slowing down. You're slowing down. Just like when you're driving and there's fog, it's foggy and you can't see, it's not clear. I hope you slow down. I hope you slow down. People with a vague vision, they've lost their drive, they have their energy, life's a drag, it's drudgery. But then number five, this is where we're landing, God's vision. Everything changed in my life. Folks, I'm turning 64 in just a week. Now, I don't say that because I'm ashamed of my age or I'm down on my age. No. I'm more excited about life than I've ever been. I'm more motivated about getting up, pastoring this church, leading my family, leading this team, leading a volunteer impact than ever before. How can you do that? Because I'm doing what I was made to do. I'm doing what I was made to do. I'm in the zone. I'm doing exactly what I was made to do. Nobody can talk me out of it. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm doing what I was created to do. And when you find God's vision for your life, I told Pastor Tommy Barnett this one time. You know, he was talking to me and, you know, he just turned 80. And I said, you know, Pastor Tommy, it's so awesome because a career you retire from. I told Pastor Tommy this. I said, Pastor Tommy, these are the best years of your life. Pastor Tommy Barnett turned 80. I said, Pastor Tommy, you can retire from a career, but you cannot retire from a call. You cannot retire from a call. And that's what you got to find out. What are you called to do? What are you created to do? What are you made to do? What's God's vision for your life? Because when you find God's vision for your life, you'll have a quality life. You'll have a fulfilled life. And here's part of our mission here at Church on the Rock. You'll make a difference with your life. So that's what I want to talk about. I'm going to help you find God's vision. Is that cool? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 29:18. The guy set this up for me. This is so cool. In fact, I kind of like this. I might just do this in the sanctuary. This is kind of cool. Where there is no revelation, a revelation, vision, people cast off restraint. They have no control, no boundaries, no guidelines. They have no direction in their life. But blessed, why are we talking to you today on December the 27th? Happy Wednesday. Why? Because we want you blessed. I, as your pastor, I want you blessed, most blessed. Blessed is the one who heeds God's wisdom and his instruction. Let's read it from the Message translation. The Message translation. If people can't see, oh my goodness. If people can't see, that's why we're here today, to help you see what God's doing. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what God reveals, when you get not man's vision, not your parents' vision, not the Pope's vision, not your coach's vision, not your best friend's vision, not your husband's vision, not your wife's vision, but when you get God's vision, what he reveals, you will live most blessed life. I think the King James says, happy you will be. So when you find God's vision for your life, you'll be happy. Oh, you'll have to do hard things. You'll have to do things that average people won't do. You'll have to stop making excuses. Excuses are the language of an underachiever. You'll have to do the hard things of life. You'll have to face your challenges and your difficulties. Oh my goodness, 34 years in this church, if you only knew, you don't have time for me to tell you all the challenges and all the hardships and the hard times to get here. But I'm telling you, all that I've gone through was worth it to be here today with you on the last Wednesday of 2017 to prepare you to go into a brand new year with God's vision for your life. So let me just take you in the Bible to Habakkuk. Many of you know this, but did you know what Habakkuk, his name means in the Hebrew? Habakkuk, now names in the Bible have a spiritual significance. And Habakkuk means to embrace / to wrestle. Habakkuk, the name means, you still with me now? To embrace / to wrestle. Big hairy deal, Pastor, what does that mean? How's that relate to my life? Here's how it relates to your life. It means, Habakkuk, his name means to embrace God, to get closer to God, to know God. To embrace God so you can wrestle spiritual fight and win the battle and live the life God wants you to live. It means to embrace God so you can wrestle, you can fight the good fight, you can win spiritual warfare, and you can be the person God wants you to be, and you can do the things God wants you to do, and you can receive all the promises of God. Not some, all. Don't settle for some. Go for all. Ask big. Believe big. Go big. So this is what he's talking about. Habakkuk, he's mad at God. Ever been mad at God? He's mad at God. He's angry at God because the world around him is going to hell in a handbasket. You know what that phrase means? It's kind of like what our world looks like right now. Habakkuk is angry at God. He says, God, you're not doing anything. God, I'm crying out to you, and it looks to me like you're not doing anything, and nothing's happening around me. So Habakkuk, watch this now. He's mad at God. He's mad at the world. He's mad at himself. He's angry. He's frustrated. He's fatigued. He's worn out. He doesn't want to go to work. He doesn't want to get up. He has no drive to exercise. He has no drive to get in the Word of God. Life's over for him in the natural. When does everything change? Everything changes. You know, God tells him in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, Habakkuk 1, verse 5, he says, Habakkuk, wake up. He says, wake up. This is what God says. He said, behold, among the heathen, he said, for I'm about to do, this is Habakkuk 1, verse 5, I'm about to do a work in your life, which you will not believe even if I told you. Oh my goodness. He's telling Habakkuk. Habakkuk's fatigued. Maybe you're fatigued. I get it. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you feel like a failure. Maybe you feel like you tried, it didn't work. Why try again? But I want you to see Habakkuk. He's there. We can identify. But God gives him a word. All you need is one word from God. And I hope you're getting it through me today. As he tells him right here, he said, Habakkuk, boy, let me give you the right perspective. Let me give you a word. Let me tell you, I'm about to do a work in your life so marvelous, so great, so grand, so big. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. How do you get him to believe it? God says, I want to do these things in his life. I want to do works. I want to do something in him. I've got something planned for him that he couldn't believe it even if I told him. So God's thinking, how am I going to get him into faith? How am I going to get him to believe it? How am I going to get him in a position where I can do it? And you know what God does? God gives him a vision. Folks, this is worth it. You underline it, you write it, you tweet it, you Instagram it, and that's this. You got to see it before you can ever believe it. You got to see it before you can ever believe it. You got to see it before you can ever believe it. He couldn't believe it, so God says, I got to get him to see it in order to get him in faith. I've got to get him to see it in order to get him to believe it. What are you seeing about your health, your money, your job, your career, your ministry, your kids, your house, your car, your bills, your credit card? 2018, what do you see? Because what you see is what God can do. You have to see it in order to believe it. Watch. Sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. It's a spiritual principle. You got to see it in order to believe it. Then you got to believe it before you'll see it. Pastor, you had too much punch. No, you got to see it. You got to get a vision. You got to see it before you'll ever believe it. And then you got to believe it to see it. But it starts with seeing. What do you see? What's your vision? See, right here in Habakkuk, I love this. It's so relatable to you and me. So he tells him, you got to You got to believe it. And before you believe it, I got to get you to see it. So I'm about running out of time. So let me just give this to you in Habakkuk chapter 2. He said, I will stand upon my watch. This is Habakkuk. I will stand upon my watch and set me above the tower and watch and see. Notice he had to get up higher. He had to get in his tower. He had to change. He had to shift what he was seeing and where he was seeing it from. He had to get up higher. Like in an airplane, you get in an airplane, look down, everything looks different. Well, from where you're looking today determines what you're seeing. So you need to get out of your circumstances and get above all of it and see what God wants you to see. Shift your perspective. So he said, and he will say to me, God will say to me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me. This is Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the what? The vision, and make it plain upon the table. So what? You're motivated. Do you remember I started with a quote from John Maxwell? The greatest motivation is vision. It's God's vision. Look, you're running now. Habakkuk, you're going to run. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain, make it clear, make it clear. Not a vague vision, not a low vision, not no vision, not the wrong vision, but the God vision. That you may run, want to get up, want to go to work, can't wait, proactive. Oh my goodness. And every time you read it, it's going to motivate you. Oh my goodness. So then he goes on to say, look at the next verse, verse 3. For the vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. At the end it will speak and not lie. Though it tarry, looks like it's never going to happen, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Next verse, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. What is that? That's pride. Pride, you know, being unteachable will keep us from hearing and seeing what God wants us to hear and see. Pride. I know it all. I read the books. I've been there. You know what? That's pride. And God said, I push the prideful away. So one of the best things you and I can do on this Wednesday, December 27th, God, I surrender. God, not my plan, not my will. God, not my way. God, your way. God, I surrender. God, I humble myself. And the Bible says he's close to the humble. Oh, my goodness. Then the next verse, what does it say here? Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. That's pride. But the just, that's you and me, will live by his what? Faith. We'll live by our faith. So notice that God's trying to get him into faith. So what God? What does God do? God gives him a vision. So let me just give you this real quick. I'm just going to give you the outline. But let me give you how God gives you his vision. Number one, there are 5 points. Number one, you got to want it. You got to want God's vision for your life, just like I did way back in 1975. Some people don't want it, don't care about it. They're just existing, going through life. They're passive, mediocre, and average. I'm not talking to people like that. I'm not called to people like that. I'm called to people like you. So number one, you got to want it. Number two, you got to withdraw. You got to get alone. They all start with W. You got to want to get alone with God. Solitude is the key to God's best. You don't want some of his promises. Bless God, we want all of his promises. And what did he do? All these points are found in Habakkuk chapter 2, okay? So he withdrew. Then number three, you're going to have to wait upon the Lord. You're going to have to wait upon the Lord. What do you do then? You get in the book and you read and you ask questions. You read scripture and you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. You read scripture and you ask, that's where I got the vision to do what I'm doing today. This is how I got my call. This is how I got my vision. I'm sharing with you not theory, but what worked in my life and how I got called to be a pastor teacher. So number one, you got to want it. Number two, you got to withdraw. Number three, you got to wait upon the Lord. Number four, you got to write it down. This morning, before I came in here, I wrote in my journal. Every day I journal. You got to write it down. It's got to be clear. You got to keep the vision before your face every day of your life so you run and you're motivated. If you don't keep it before you, you'll dry up, you'll lose your motivation, and you'll back off. Okay? You'll be frustrated and you'll be worn out and tired. So number one, you got to want it. Number two, you got to withdraw, get alone with God. Number three, you got to wait upon the Lord, get in the Bible reading plan, read scripture, then ask God, God, what are you saying to me? Number four, you didn't know I could do it this fast, did you? Write it down. And then you see in Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk has changed. He's now in faith. But he couldn't get in faith until he got a vision. How does God get us in faith? He wants to show you who you are, what you're called to do. Number five, in Habakkuk chapter 3, the last verses of the whole book, he's worshiping the Lord. He said, though the vine dry up, there's no fig, there's nothing in the barn, doesn't move me. He said, I'm going to worship God anyway. Oh, my goodness. He's walking by faith now. How do you go from no faith to faith? Vision. How do you go from no drive to drive? Vision. How do you get excited about life when he wasn't? Now he is. Vision. We're talking today about how to get a vision from God. These 5 points. Number one, you got to want it. Number two, you got to withdraw. Number three, you got to wait upon the Lord. Number four, you got to write it down, make it clear. Number five, you worship God. That's how I got my vision for my life. That's how you can get a clear vision from God for your life. Can I pray with you? Father, thank you right now, God, for this time together on December the 27th, on this Wednesday. Father, for me and my family and our team, God, we want everybody to be motivated for 2018. We want them to be in faith. God, we want them to have all your promises, not some of them, all of them. So, Father, I pray, God, that this word has fell on good ground. It's motivated them. It's inspired them. It's challenged them to think, to reflect, to ask, to pray, to wait, to believe, to be open. God, I thank you. We pray your best for them, your vision for them in 2018. In Jesus' name, they're going to make a difference with their life. And everybody said, amen. I love you, and don't forget, God is for you.